Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello. Oh, good. This is working. Fine. I just realized tonight, was told, that we're going on to 6 years of this ministry. I'm flabbergasted in realizing how effective this Eucharistic outreach is to not only the people of the area, but eventually it seems that the diocese picked up on this and has a similar program, but it did come after this one. I don't know if when the blessed people who dwelt on the theme for this next 3 months realized that we open this three-month series on the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. Perhaps they did. It's just too divine to be just a happenstance. A God incidence, of course, not a coincidence. But arms open wide, and that last hymn you sang, I thought, why don't we just sing all evening? life is made for singing for God's people. Maybe oftentimes the song might sound sad, but it's still a song. It's still music. It's the music, the melody that God has put in the hearts of all of us to have our arms open wide. Now, as I speak, I hope you don't look at me. I hope you really gaze upon the crucifix. And, of course, you know the difference between a crucifix and a cross. The cross is the wood. But Catholic Christians really venerate also the crucifix, that is the corpus of Jesus on it, to remind ourselves of the price God has paid for loving us. Almost you want to say it's like you ask for it, God. You're paying the price. God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, so that everyone who believes in him might have eternal life and not perish. This feast today of the lifting up of the cross is, to me, a stunning favorite of the year for me. And I'm sure it is for many of you, too. It's not a holy day of obligation, but here you are, several hundred people, to revere Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and to feast your eyes upon the price he paid to be here in the Eucharist, the crucifix. What does it mean, since we are following this theme for 3 months, to have our arms wide open? Now you look at the cross. A similar crucifix hangs in a lovely church where I served for a while in Florida, or helped out with, St. Isabel's on Sanibel Island. And in this lovely, lovely church, it's in the round or semicircle like this. There is a stucco wall across the back. It would be like the walls on either side of our crucifix, but carried right across. And the founding pastor hired an artist in bronze work to do this magnificent corpus about the size of the corpus you see here. And he was able to have that corpus hung in such a way where there was no cross, and it was bolted from the back behind the hands, so you don't see the nails in the hands. It's an illusion, of course, of Christ having died and is already rising from the dead. This gesture, of course, is surrender, as our last hymn went. Beautiful, beautiful hymn. But it's also, I'm doing this willingly. That's what that crucifix in Florida says. Well, the bishop came to consecrate the church after Hurricane Charlie some years back. And he was not happy with this stunning cross. And Jesus, of course, in this fashion, in a bronze, is also the cross. hanging there willing, the bishop said, I want a crucifix. He said, I want a cross behind this. So Father Chris knew what he was doing, and he called in an artist in plaster to put a white stucco cross up the back of this figure. And you can see it, but it's vague. And so he got away with it. He put up the cross. But I think in so doing, and being obedient with a little snarkiness added to it, he really presented quite a piece of theology to us. The cross almost fades, and Jesus is the free one. But now, as you look upon Jesus here on the cross, think about that arms wide open. It's a gesture, of course, of complete giving. Complete giving. Nothing is held back. In fact, were it not for the sensibilities, of course, of the, excuse me, viewing Christians over the centuries, Jesus would not be wearing the cloth. That was part of the severe humiliation of crucifixion, was the shame of it all. Can you imagine? God the Son hanging totally naked, has given everything. There's no more he could give. Take it all. And of course, we get cute with how much do I love you? This much. That's from east to west. But when we do this, that's not a small gesture. It means I can't accept things from you. I can't hold anything. Rather, everything that I have and that I am, I give to you. So what does Jesus give us? Of course, they are things that can't be put in boxes and traded at Christmas time. All Jesus can do, all God can do, is give and give and give and give and give. Take. We give to him, but it's only what he's already given to us. It's only the gift that he has already given to us. So his love, take it, he says. Take it at any time and all you want and all you need. His forgiveness, anytime, all you need. It's yours, wide open. I'll give you my mother. You can't put her in a box either. At the foot of the cross, mother, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. And of course, that's one of the reasons he's up on that cross. His mother taught him how to give everything to God. At the Annunciation, she closes the exchange between herself and Gabriel with, behold the handmaid of the Lord. Behold the handmaid. Christ learned arms open wide, servant obedience from his parents, starting with Mary, who became his first throne on earth. After all, God the Father had to do something to ease his son into this world. So he made a piece of heaven in Mary, the mother of Jesus, who would, in all familiar terms and preaching of Jesus, final words of Jesus, have notably and noticeably taught him, Father, not my will, but yours be done. It's yours. It's all yours, Father. Part of what I liked about the crucifix in Sanibel was there were no nails. I don't know if I said that, but he hung there freely. He doesn't need nails to be, of course, as a human being in an earthly situation with gravity. He had to have nails. But otherwise, you could have hung him there in any way you wished. You didn't have to put any shackles on him. You didn't have to nail him to that tree. His Father's love for us all, as shown through the flesh and blood of Jesus, his Son, is entirely free. It's abandonment. Abandonment. A little bit different, perhaps, than one of the seven words he spoke on the cross. My God, why have you abandoned me? It is as though he even gave away God. He gave God away. I'm not keeping him to myself. He's yours. Take him. His blood, of course, freely given. Finally, his body, his very life. None of this can be, so to speak, packaged and given to each of us. And all Jesus is free to do on that cross is, like his Father, he's free only to receive. But not to receive clutchable kinds of things. Ain't possible. He can only receive the intangibles. Now, maybe somebody could move up close to that cross, although they say it was just high enough where people couldn't reach it. But I would imagine, and by the way, there were only women at the foot of the cross and John. Oh, ladies. Thank God for you. They were at the foot of the cross, and can't you imagine that Mary, the mother of Jesus, Mary Magdalene, maybe Mary, a sister of Jesus, a kindred folk, that they would have wanted to embrace the feet of Jesus. They could take him in hand, but he could not take them in hand. Not at all. He could only receive whatever they had to give him. So what did he receive? He certainly received the love of those several people at the foot of the cross, whatever that love was. But beyond that, he received pain, open to all that physical pain. It cannot be imagined by any of us. Although I certainly have come to know some of you, certainly in my congregation also, well enough to know that the crucifixion, we might say, well, for Jesus, it lasted 3 to 6 hours. And it was horrifying, the torture that preceded it also. But some of you live in torture that goes on every moment of your adult lives. I have a woman that comes to me frequently for confession, and she can't have a whole lot to confess. So we've been married many years, married to a husband who has really maltreated her over the years. He never physically laid a hand on her, but besides that, he has humiliated her, chewed her up one side and down the other, and he continues to do that after almost 50 years of marriage. And he is totally dependent upon her. And you could say, well, some of his nastiness comes from his realization that he's lost his manhood somehow, that he can only receive from his wife. But he's been like this since the beginning of their marriage. He realized this quality, a horrible characteristic of his, only a little bit after they were married. And she has chosen to stay. And then have four children and wonder if she has done them justice because she stayed with a man who demeans their mother constantly. Can you imagine how that would, maybe some of you can imagine a little bit, how that would diminish a person? Talk about arms open wide. And she continues now, of course, in these latter years, 10, 12 years at least, of having to minister to him constantly because he can't take care of himself. But he sure can scream at her. Continue to tear her up, as I said, one side and down the other. And she stays and she smiles and wonders again, have I, with my children who are substance abusers, caused their pain? I mean, can you imagine? Heroic remaining with a spouse, heroic fidelity, and then in the midst of your heroism, think that you are a failure. Arms wide open, love. I said to her, I don't know how or why you have not given up your faith long ago. She said, Father, that's all. That keeps me here. That's all that keeps me here. She's just an example of pain that could be touched in every person here in this congregation tonight. I find the more I'm willing to listen, the more I learn. And maybe as I get older, I get a little too lazy to talk. I don't know anymore. To come up with answers or think you're coming up with answers for people. So I do more listening, I think, now than I used to. Boy, oh boy. Arms wide open, love is out here, out there. And only Jesus, only walking and hanging with Jesus makes it possible. I texted a friend of mine today. I've known him since he's been 18 years old. He's in his early 50s now, and has a very good job with Ford Hospital, and he's worked hard to come to that position. But he's gone through so much death in his family. From the time I knew him as a teenager, his dad had just passed away, grandma was at home dying, mom was working, grandma did die while I was there at the parish, mom finally died while I was there at the parish, she died of cancer, she was the brick of the family, dad died of alcoholism. And he has one brother, and they were never close to any relatives, so he, except for the brother who's still alive and very sick himself, Chris has no one. He has his wife, but the wife, God bless her, that he married, has been an addict all their marriage. And today happens to be Chris's birthday. And I texted him and said, this is a special feast in which you were born. The exaltation of the cross, I said, I think the reason, and he doesn't speak of pain or suffering. He just goes on with his life of love and faith and just keeps at it. But I was dwelling upon his cross today, and I said, you've seen so much suffering and pain in your life, and I think that's because you were born on this day. And he asks you to hang with him on the cross. He texted right back. He said, wow. He said, thank you very much. That didn't come from me. That's the Lord's own. And of course, I was into the mood of preparing for tonight so I could share with him, the graces that Jesus was sharing with me. Jesus was free to receive derision, taunt. He got that in abundance, of course. Sour wine, the piercing of a lance, You think of the two thieves hanging on either side of him. They, too, had arms wide open. One was as different from the other as Jesus is different, light from darkness. One taunted the Lord, derided him, and said, "Get us down from here if you really are the Messiah." And the other fellow says, with arms wide open, "Just, Lord, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." So Jesus was receiving love and adoration from the most unlikely human being around him at that point. And you can bet he accepted the love. "Today you will be with me in paradise." So many of Jesus, God, the Father's gifts through the Holy Spirit are, as I say, intangible. And a lot of the gifts through faith and hope are something like promissory notes. We don't collect them right now, although if we're really faithful with wide open arms, we are flabbergasted by the generosity of Almighty God to us in any given day. And you know where I hear that appreciation of who I am and where I'm at and what God has done for me, where I hear it most is from relatively poor people. The poor people, you know, are the tutors of the rich. They're the teachers of the powerful. If we rich and powerful are open enough to learn. I've come to the last parish in my priesthood now. I know that will be it, as I've shared with some of you, now that my dear friend Father Arthur has gone to the kingdom. I sold a home that we shared in Florida, and it's the first time in 40 years I haven't had my own house of some sort, even a trailer I once lived in. And it's a wonderful place to be where you don't own a house. Your arms are wide open to everybody else's house. You don't have to go to your own, which, of course, is just a little bit of an image of heaven on earth, that kingdom where there are so many mansions in the sky for us to share. And we will share forever. So no house, and I say to my parishioners, whatever things I had that I could keep from Florida, I brought up to the rectory, and I said, they belong now to St. Benedict's. And I said, the only way I'm going to leave this parish is dead or drooling. Preferably the former. That's a wonderful place to be. I can say that at this time in my life. One doesn't know exactly what happens to us. I got to tell you, when Father Gene Strain was my age, the age that I am now, I said, what the heck is that man still doing ministering? He's such an old duffer. That's when he was 75. Because they had a big party for him, you know. And as you know, arms wide open, Gene, oh, well, I'll go wherever you want me. Okay, I'll go do that. And he's still here. I don't know if we'll be around that long, but one way or another, arms open wide. Today you're with me in the kingdom. We'll always be together. People ask me, in the midst of all the stuff going on today, is that a red light? Did I see it yet? I forgot. Oh, there it is. Okay. I know I have 5 minutes. With all the stuff going on in the church today, you know, people ask, well, how do you smile? Well, it's either that or you cry. That is the truth. But we are a people hanging with Jesus on that cross right now. arms open wide. We are totally vulnerable. Totally. And we might say, why us? Why not another denomination? Or why not the second greatest group of Christians in the country next to Roman Catholics, you know, the most numerous, are the former Catholics. And then the Baptists are number three. But anyway, why not those? Why can't they all hang? Why us? And then you got to say, aside from our sins, why not us? Why not us? Are we a people who are becoming poor in many ways? It may not look like it money-wise or building-wise, but we are becoming poor in the eyes of the world. And remember, as I said, it's the poor who become the best teachers of compassion and love, forgiveness. And that's all Jesus wants of us. He wants us to be here on this earth receiving compassion and mercy from him, from his Father, and then giving it out to others. Wear your wide arms open, wide crucifixes, with great pride, you Roman Catholics.